Hello, so the reading is John chapter 3, and it's in these booklets you'll have on your tables on page 7. And we're starting in the bottom right on page 7. John chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit."
Thank you. Good to see you here this afternoon. I'm glad to be here. We're going to be carrying on in John's Gospel, but we're going to be doing something a little bit different. So we'll be looking at the term, what it means to be born again. So we're going to be a little bit in the passage, but we'll also be going to other parts as well. Now, have you ever had the sense that something was completely beyond you? You knew you were just not capable of it. Well, as a teenager, I got fired up from watching Wimbledon tennis. That was when a Greg Rosetsky or a young Tim Henman went out in the early stages of the tournament. I thought maybe I could be the next kind of superstar of tennis. Maybe I could be the one to bring pride back to British tennis. So, armed with a Wilson tennis racket, I'd practice against the back wall in our garden. I'd cycle down to local tennis courts and try out my serving. When I thought I was ready, I went down to the local tennis coaching club. There, I talked the talk. I went to these kind of say sessions. I served my really good serve, and they saw how good I was, and so they put me in the top group. But as the hour session went on, they quickly saw my talent or lack of it. I progressively made my way down to the bottom group with those who'd borrowed their granddad's wooden rackets. It got to the fifth week and things hadn't improved. And it was then that I realised I wasn't going to bring pride back to British tennis. It didn't matter how much time I spent on the court or how good my racket was, I was just rubbish at playing tennis. I had no skill, I had no talent, and nothing was going to change that. It was completely beyond me. But we just heard from the Bible a man who's met with Jesus and is told something that he could never do. Look with me at verse 3. It says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You see, to be born again, well, that is when someone becomes Christian. So every Christian is a born-again Christian. It's not an optional extra. I remember when I was dressed up as Zorro, running around in Torbay in Devon a few summers ago. I was asked by a member of the public, "What was I doing?" I explained that I was a Christian and that I was helping on a Christian camp. We were playing a game called Hunt the Leader. And she thought, "Wow, that's great. It's wonderful what you are doing for the children." And she said, "What Christian are you? What are you, one of those born-again types?" And I said, "Well, every Christian is born again." As soon as I said that, she turned her back to me and she didn't want to know any more. This made me think, actually, the kind of attitude that people have towards those who've become genuine Christians. See, the arrival of a baby, well, it's to be celebrated. It's a wonderful thing when a new life comes into this world. But there is little interest when someone is born a child of God by the Holy Spirit. So my prayer this afternoon's talk is that we'll see that why becoming a Christian should bring just as much joy as a baby being born into this world. So the first thing I'd like us to see on your handouts is we all need new life. Verses 1 to 7. We all need new life. In verse 7, Jesus says this: you must be born again. It seems a bit drastic, doesn't it? Why must we be born again? For us to please God, can't we just, and that is to be part of his kingdom, why can't we just turn over a new leaf and say, I'll do better next time? Or I'll put measures in place so that I'll stop sinning. I'll read my Bible more. I'll pray more. But this won't work. And we'll see why now. I mean, who comes to Jesus in verse 1? We see that it's a Pharisee named Nicodemus. See how Nicodemus is described. He is a ruler of the Jews. And in verse 10, Jesus says he is the teacher of Israel. Now, I'm sure he expected to be in God's kingdom automatically. One Christian writer says this: Nicodemus presumed he was on God's side. After all, he was strict in his obedience, pious in his religion, and a conservative in his theology. But what is he told in verse 3? Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Again, we see it in verse 5. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And again in verse 7, you must be born again. Jesus is very emphatic. This religious leader, he is saying, has no spiritual life. He needs to be born again. And there is no other way. And it's no different for us. We need to be completely transformed. We need a radical change from the inside out. We need to enter into a realm of, well, new life. We need to be born again. And see why in verse 6. This is why. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So here we have two births of two kinds of people. One we have of the flesh, and then we have one of the Spirit. The flesh birth, well, that's the birth that we've all undergone, or we wouldn't be here. But the birth of the flesh, that can only follow on to death. It's incapable of entering God's kingdom. It can't produce spiritual life. But see what can, again in verse 6. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And a little later on, in John chapter 6, verse 36, Jesus says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no avail. It is only through the Spirit, that is God himself, that can bring about this new life that is everlasting. So the biggest problem that we all face isn't Brexit. The need for the fixing of the NHS or plastic in the ocean. No, the biggest problem we face is of the flesh. I'm sure many of us have thought, what's wrong with me? We think maybe we only do bad things because of the bad circumstances around us, our environment. That if that was to change, then our behaviour would too. But the real problem isn't that we do bad things. And when I say bad things, that's the everyday things, like slander around the office, to cheat to get ahead, to neglect our responsibilities and do shoddy work, to bend the truth, to gratify our desires or at the expense of others. No. Our problem is what we do comes from what we are. And we are flesh. It's only when we see our desperate need in our state that we'll understand the kind of radical remedy that Jesus says that we need to be born again. It's like going to the doctor, saying that you have a sore ankle. Then the test results come back and he says the whole leg needs to come off. The remedy we show is seen to be extreme. It shows the seriousness of the problem. And what Jesus is saying is that our state is serious. It's serious because we cannot get into God's kingdom and that is not to have eternal life. By now we should see the need to be born again, that is to enter into God's kingdom. So there's only one type of Christian, that is the born again type. It doesn't matter our background or the kind of maybe bad life we feel that you have lived, we all need a miracle. Neither can we say, think that, oh well, some people, they're really good, they're nice, it won't take much for them to become a Christian. Well, others, well, they're really bad, it'll take God a real overhaul job for them to become a Christian. No, everyone needs this miracle, everyone needs new life. So secondly, God alone gives us new life. God alone gives us new life. So the question we should all be wanting the answer to is, well, how can we be born again? The answer we see is in John chapter 1, and it's verses 12 to 13. So please turn to it. It's only 2 pages back. So John chapter 1, verses 12 to 13. And that's on page 3 of your Gospels there. It says this: but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, that's Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So here's a list of two people trying and failing to be children of God. First, oh, we have the mention of bloodline. So that is the Jews, they can trace their family tree all the way back to Abraham. That is the father of their faith. So if you're a Jew, you say, well, I'm a son of Abraham. This makes me part of God's family. But what we've just read, no, that is the answer. No, it doesn't. We can think the same today. I've met people who say they don't need to believe the gospel. It's because their dad or granddad was a vicar or a minister. Or maybe for us here today, maybe we think, well, we've been at Moorgate talks for quite some time now. Or I've always been part of a church. This makes me a Christian. Well, the answer that we've seen here in chapter 1, verse 13, is no. Well, let's carry on in this verse. It says, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. This is referring to how husband and wife chooses to have children. We can think that maybe we can choose to become a child of God by being religious. That is how Nicodemus saw how he could be a child of God. But for all his study, his discipline, how he kept the law, well, it didn't make him a child of God. He didn't need more religion. He needed the new birth. Religion is very much like giving an exercise bike and a fitness routine to a dead body to improve life. It will not work. It will not work. You see, the answer to be part of God's kingdom isn't down to us. The only way that we can be part of God's kingdom is what we see in verse 13. As it starts off, it says, who were born, and what's the last two words of that verse? Of God, who were born of God. It takes a miracle. That is when the Spirit comes into someone's life, as we have seen. And this takes place at conversion. So every time when someone becomes a Christian, that is when a miracle has taken place. When it happens completely. Like, well, you're only born once, aren't you? It's the same when you're reborn. It only happens once. But at a certain point in time. From then on, you are spiritually alive. What happens, I have to say, is a bit of a mystery. We were spiritually dead, then we are brought back to life. It's an instantaneous event that might be realised maybe gradually over time. But for others, they can pinpoint the exact moment when it happened. So we have to understand that we don't cause our new birth. God causes it. Now for some of us, that might be rather unsettling to have to absolutely depend upon someone else who's outside of us. But again, it was the same of our own birth. It was the mum who did all the hard work. The baby doesn't really play an active role in it. The birth is something that happens to you at great expense of the mother. That is why you congratulate the mother rather than the baby at being born. So God has to do it all. Because I'd be happy as I am, but going to hell. So he chose me. I did not choose him. And if I could, I wouldn't. And we see this in John chapter 3. So if you turn back to John chapter 3, verse 19. And we see that on page 9. So John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the judgment. The light, that is Jesus, has come into the world, and the people loved the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. You see, we naturally don't see anything attractive about God, but it's the opposite. So if you're a Christian here this afternoon, you are to give God the credit. Give God the credit for all he has done for you. God, in his kindness, has done all the hard work to bring everything together, to put it all in place, to make it possible for you to enter his kingdom. But maybe there might be a few of us here this afternoon doubting, well, have I been born again? Well, we don't ask, have we been born? We know that because we're here. But the same as, well, have I been born again? Well, if you have accepted what the Bible says about yourself, that you have rebelled against God, but that you have repented, that is, that you've turned away from wrongdoing, and then now trust in Jesus, that he has taken your sin by his death on the cross, that you now follow Jesus as your Lord, well, then you have been born again. That is down, again, to the kindness of God, which we should be very thankful for. So how does being born again come about? Well, that's the third thing I want us to see. God alone creates new life through the Spirit and his Word. God creates new life through the Spirit and his Word. So how does God cause the new birth, or to be born again, so that we can enter God's kingdom? Well, it's through God the Spirit, that he breathes new life into us, to kind of like resuscitate us, so into our spiritually dead bodies. It's like a divine shock that gets our spiritual heart beating again as we move from death to life. And when we do, he enters into our life. And he does something that we were helpless to do before, that is to enter God's kingdom. So what does the Spirit do? Well, look with me at verse 5 in chapter 3. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So we see the Spirit creates new life, as there is new life at any birth. But what happens at this new birth is not the improvement of our old self or our old nature, but the creation of new nature. And with this new nature comes a new heart. And we see this transformation take place in Ezekiel 36, verses 25 to 27. It's on your handout there on your sheet. It says this: I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules. Understand that a stone heart is a dead heart. Now, it can respond to many things, though, to lots of things. So it has a desires, and it has passions, but not to God, not love towards Jesus, though. And that is what had to change for us to enter God's kingdom. So in this new birth, God takes out the heart of stone, that is bored of Jesus Christ, and puts in a heart of flesh, which means it's soft, living. It has feelings towards God, to love Jesus and see the worth that he is. And by putting this new heart in us, the Spirit himself is now in us too. He shapes our heart and our minds to take on his character. So when you are born again, three things happen to you. First, you are forgiven. So when Jesus speaks of water in John chapter 3, verse 5. It's a picture here in Ezekiel in the verse 25 when he says, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. You see, when we are born again, it's like the blinders come off us and we see that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. That's of God's forgiveness. But my guilt of my sin is washed away by Jesus' death on the cross. So that's the first thing. We see our need for forgiveness. The second thing is that, well, we have new life. Again, in the Ezekiel passage, verse 26. I'll give you a new heart. Now, in the Bible, when it speaks about our heart, it's not the emotional side of things, as we might think of it today. But our heart, in the Bible, as it would see it, is our decision-making, our thinking and our will. But it's corrupt. It's corroded by sin. And so it needs to have a completely new one. And this is what is needed to have this new life. And then thirdly, our new birth allows us to obey God's word. We see this in verse 27, again in the Ezekiel passage. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. So we see God just, he didn't just dust us off. No, he raised us from the dead. And so we can delight in following his way. Now I can imagine maybe some of us here might say, well, it's God's fault then that I'm not born again. He just hasn't chosen me to be born again. But Jesus says, actually, we are responsible for how we respond when we are offered eternal life. And we see this in John chapter 5, verse 24. So if you turn to page 14, and it's John chapter 5, verse 24. It's 24. Jesus says this, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into the judgment, but has passed from death to life. So we are to hear God's word and believe what it says about Jesus. And when we do, well, then we have passed from death to life, freeing us from God's judgment, as Jesus was judged in our place. So now we can enter God's kingdom. So if you're a Christian here this afternoon, what can we do to help others be born again? Just telling others the good news that is in Jesus Christ. And I have to say, you might be surprised who will respond. We see this in John chapter 3 verse 8. Apologies for all the flicking about, but it's good to see the words of Jesus. So John chapter 3, verse 8. So what Jesus says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it was anyone who is born of the Spirit. So it's the Spirit's job. It's not our clever arguments. It's not down to us, but all down to the work of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who does the hard work when the gospel is heard. This is freeing. This is absolutely freeing. But I have to say, this then should cause us to really pray to God that he would give new life to our work colleagues, to our friends and to our family, to those who we care about. Also, know that being born again is not the end of the Christian life, but just the beginning. So don't be discouraged when you sin, since there is a whole life ahead of you to grow and to follow and be more like Jesus. And when we do, we are to show our new life by loving God and others, but also hating and fighting sin too. Now, if you wouldn't call yourself a Christian here this afternoon, and you know that you haven't been born again, please, please listen to the words of Jesus and believe them so that you can pass from death to life. Well, maybe you have a few questions here. If so, I'd encourage you to go on a Christianity Explored course. Maybe speak to Claire or Phil or maybe the person you came with. I have to say, you don't need to wait until then to receive new life. Maybe speak to myself, or again, the person you came with, or Phil or Claire. And you can have this new life now. You can go out of this door being a child of God. Let's pray.